Our text for this morning from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets or your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Our gracious Father, as we look to your word now, we ask that you would give us direction and hope for the new year. Amen. Well, in just 19 days, we'll have a new president. If the president-elect and the president don't kill themselves or kill one another before then. It seems like every election cycle now, there's a group of people that want to move to Canada. You know, 8 years ago, the Republicans were saying, well, if Obama becomes president, we're going to move to Canada. They were going to sneak across the border to find a better life in the frozen tundra. Now the Democrats are supposed to have their houses on the market, and in a miracle of all miracles, they're actually going to talk to some Republicans and ask them how to sneak across the border to find whatever it is they hope to find. What surprises me is how few of those who say they will move because of the results of an election actually move. Instead, whether Republican or Democrat, we stay where we are living in a sort of exile. The wrong person is in the White House. So we feel out of place and we feel like we don't belong. Like there's no hope for the future. Really, we have to put up with 4 years of fill in the blank with whoever just got elected. In our own town, this is reflected, I believe, in the alarming number of people, of young people, who have taken their own lives in the past 5 months. There's no hope for the future. What is it that we are supposed to do when we feel that the world around us is falling apart, that nothing is going our way, that everybody in your own family is fleeing the town? We want to believe that things are better elsewhere, but that doesn't especially help us. We're stuck here. You're stuck here. At least we feel like we are, with no relief in sight. We've tried, but no job offer has come. Or we moved here in order to avoid all this stress, only to find out that the life we were fleeing has caught up with us. It has found us again. How are we supposed to live under such circumstances? The prophet Jeremiah gives us some instructions from the one who could, if he so desired, deliver us immediately from the stresses that harangue us. Instructions from the Lord God Almighty. And rather than try to escape our present circumstances, God would encourage us to make three choices which will result in great blessing. There is no escape needed. So this is what I would suggest at the opening of a new year, God would say to those of us who think that a change of address or a winning lottery ticket or some outside event would make this life tolerable. I believe the first thing that God would say to us today, to those of us who are feeling we're living in exile, who are waiting for something to happen to make life better, God would say to you, choose to enjoy life now. The text, it says, build houses and live in them, plant gardens. Who would want to do that? Plant gardens, eat their produce. So I would want to do that because it's forward thinking. We are encouraged to get married and to have children and to marry off our children. God says, choose to enjoy life now. Live in the real world that you have been, where you have been placed right now. Of course, the people in Jeremiah 29 have the benefit of knowing how long they would live in exile. It's 70 years. 70 years is a long time. What do? Build houses. Plant gardens. Take wives. Have children. Marry them off. Have grandchildren. Those are cool things. Those are embracing life types of things. I've had the incredible privilege of having six kids, bringing them into Grand Junction and seeing them get married off and produce grandchildren. And I stayed up, nearly 60 years old, I actually stayed up until 12:30 this morning. I watched the new year come in and the smiles on the faces of my grandchildren because we choose to live life now and enjoy life today. That's where God has placed us. We enjoy life today. In short, love life. Enjoy life. Begin today. These are the things that you do in the fullness of living life. Choose to enjoy your present circumstances. The issue here is that when the people are in exile, they could have kind of receded into their own little cave and protected themselves and just waited it out and hoped things got better. Maybe I'll still be alive in 70 years and then we'll be able to hobble our way back to Jerusalem and living 70 years in exile and feeling like the world's falling apart and not being happy. And we follow the pattern of kind of holding back in our lives all too often, where we think we can't do this because we can't really enjoy it today because, well, we have to make sure that we have, and we fill in the blank. The next generation often says, well, we can't have kids now because we're not making enough money. So they put off having kids until they're in their 40s. I know someone who had a kid in his 40s. Now he's nearly 60 and he's got a 16-year-old. I'm thinking, you know, have kids while you're young. Then you can have great grandkids. And they can give you life throughout your whole life. Not that a 16-year-old is tough to get along with. He fills my life with joy. But the point is, if you keep on putting off stuff until the right time, then you won't be doing what God has put you here for. Enjoy life now. Don't wait until everything is perfect before you can enjoy life. Here's a clue. Life will never be perfect until the trumpet sounds. If you're waiting for every duck to be in a row, you're going to wait forever. Do the things that God has called you to do. Enjoy the life where God has planted you. The reality is you're never going to make enough money to support a family. Until you have a family, and then all of a sudden you're making enough money to support a family. 35 years ago when I got married, I got a job that paid about a third of what I could have gotten paid had I worked in secular employment. And I somehow managed to raise 6 kids, even though there were many times when we did a balance sheet and we knew that we spent more money than we made, and we ended up with more money at the end of the month than we made, than we spent. It was just an amazing thing. God takes care of us. Build houses, plant gardens, eat the produce, get married, have kids, marry those kids off, enjoy life now. Stop thinking that when things are better, then you'll finally be able to do whatever it is God has called you to do. If God has called you to do something, do it now. He'll fill in the needs. He'll take care of you. Part of this means that when you settle into your home, you settle into your city and your neighborhood, enjoy what it has to offer and seek to make it better. That's what the text says. God challenges us not merely to live for ourselves. We choose to enjoy life, but we don't do so in isolation from the city in which we dwell. Verses 5 and 6 tells those in exile to build houses, plant gardens, raise families, and then in verse 7, as though anticipating our tendency to look out only for ourselves, God says, but even though you're doing all these things for yourself, seek the welfare of the city where I have brought you. Pray for the city, seek its welfare, for in the welfare of the city you will find your welfare. This is a powerful lesson in economics. We cannot live merely for ourselves. You may hate your job. You may hate where you live, particularly if you live someplace in northern Minnesota. You know, they go ice fishing. If I need ice, I just go to the freezer. Of course, I don't go regular fishing either. You may hate your job. You may hate where you live. But in order for you to enjoy life now, we have to do our best to see that the company we work for is successful. For in the city that we live in, and it's in the success of the business we work for, we find our success. And in order for our city to be flourishing, we need to invest in the city. We need to do the types of things which help the whole city be better, because then we will be better. Because we are called to work for the glory of God. We work not merely to provide for our needs, but to provide for the welfare of the city. That's one of the reasons that we're building a greenhouse. Most of you know that I can do without vegetables. That's not a hot spot for me. Do you know what a hot button is for me? It is that we would be able to help our city flourish, that we would be able to provide for people in need, that we'd give them an opportunity to receive benevolence with dignity. And one of the ways we're going to do that is through a greenhouse. I don't do it because I want a greenhouse. And the first one of you that makes me plant broccoli there, let's just say, I know where the keys to the greenhouse are, and there will be no broccoli coming to. I really don't have a big deal about broccoli. It's a great vegetable for others to eat. It is easy when you are feeling like the world is channeled against you to develop a fortress mentality to just protect yourself. That our home maybe becomes our castle, and then we just try to ward off all the evil of the city around us. But God says that it is within the community that we find our welfare. So choose to enjoy life now, at home, at work, at church, at play, and help the city to flourish, because when it flourishes, you flourish. Enjoy life now. I don't know what things you're putting off for, hoping for a better day, for a different president or a different mayor. Or enjoy life now. The second thing the text would tell us is that we need to embrace hope today. No matter how bad things may seem today, God encourages us to choose a life of hope. Having just passed through an election season, which, you know, you would hope you get at least 2 years off, but already people are announcing they're going to run for president in whatever, 2020. It's like, really? Do we have to start this already? You know, in the United States, you look for, at least every 4 years you have the opportunity to change the president. And so people focus on 4 years. The people in Jeremiah chapter 29 looked forward to 70 years of captivity, of exile. And even in the midst of that, God says, choose a life of hope. This is what he says. I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. These are not the words of some politician. These are the words of God for his people. He knows his plans for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Philippians says, I am confident of this thing, that he who has begun a good thing in me will complete it and perfect it until the day of Christ. Romans 8, God causes all things to work together for good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. We get stuck in our own personal exile, and God says, there's hope. There's hope. We must never lose sight of our hope. The blessed hope of the believer is the return of Jesus Christ. We anticipate that there's going to come a time when the trumpet is going to sound, when every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that which we already confessed, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's going to come a time when we're going to be raptured up into heaven. We're going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, where every wrong is going to be made right, where everything that we ever feared is going to be removed, because there is no fear, there is no sorrow, there is no pain where we are going. We have an incredible hope for us in the future. It is high time we trained ourselves to live within the hope of the believer of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has said, I have come in to give you life, and that abundant and free. For many, the idea of hope is merely a dream. They don't even think about it. It's one of the issues that our youth is facing today. We have stopped teaching our kids to look forward with anticipation to what life can be like 5-10 years down the road. One of the things we talked about last night is, you know, it's typical at the passing of a new year. You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years? And I have a definitive answer for where I see myself in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I know that I will see myself in the mirror. Maybe even some photos. The thing is that we stop thinking and stop projecting, saying, what are we going to do in 5 years? What kind of a man will I be in 5 years? What kind of a wife will I be in 5 years? Where do I see myself economically in 5 years? What are the decisions which I need to make today that in order so that I will be the kind of father I want to be, the kind of grandfather I want to be, the kind of great-grandfather I want to be? No, I don't want to be a great-grandfather in 5 years. So, Titus is too young to have kids that soon. So, what kind of home do you want to live in? And what are you going to do now to make that happen? What type of friends do you want to have? What kind of friend do you want to be? These are things which focus upon the future, and as we focus upon those dreams for the future and then make adjustments in our life today to make those dreams and hopes become a reality, we are able to embrace hope today. We don't get stuck and say there's no future. We say, this is the future I want. Therefore, I will plan for that. And I can make adjustments today. And that's the way you get hope in a secular area. You say, okay, these are the things I want, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to do such and such in the 5 years or 10 years. But for us, the Christian, we have a hope which is far more satisfying. To dream of our future and to adjust our life so that those dreams might become a reality is really nice. And our world needs some strong lessons in that endeavor. But for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we have dreams, but we also have the certainty of the promises of Scripture. We've read to the end of the book, and although in this present time it may appear that everything is going wrong, in the end, Jesus wins. His family wins. Wrongs are made right. There's no more war, no more dying, no more tears, no more condemnation, no more temptation. There's a really great banquet and the blessing of heaven. We have something to hope for. Embrace hope today. Embrace hope today. The final choice that I would suggest God would encourage us to make as we live in our own exile is to choose to engage God daily. The root of hopelessness for the believer and probably for others is the inability to see a loving God. For where we see a loving God, we see hope. Verse 12, God says, "Call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe inviting you to come and pray to Him, and He will listen. He will listen. Verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Verse 14, "I will be found by you." I have had the opportunity over the last few weeks to play a bunch of hide and seek with a 3- and 4-year-old. Playing hide and seek with a 3- and 4-year-old is an interesting endeavor because, first of all, they're not that good at hiding. But even more than that, they're not that good at staying hid. Little Cassandra hides in a wicker basket that we have with a lid. And she curls herself up and she gets in there. And it is a perfect hiding place. Because there is no way you would even think to look in there because we can't fit in there. And so you go around the house playing hide and seek. And where's Cassandra? Where's Cassandra? And you only have to say that twice before the lid pops up. It's a picture of God. You only have to ask a couple times, "Where's God? Where's God?" The lid pops up and God jumps out and says, "Here I am! Here I am! You found me!" Look at that! Didn't take that much, did it? Just call out to me. Pray to me. I'm going to listen. I'm going to let myself be found. I'm not trying to make it hard for you to come and see me. We have this idea that oftentimes God really doesn't want to talk to us. You know, He's got caller ID. And because of whatever we did last night, and it was New Year's Eve, so maybe you did things you shouldn't have done. But whatever we did last night, we're dialing up God in prayer, and He sees our number. And goes, "I'm not talking to Him, man. Did you see what He did last night?" That's actually the opposite. Whatever you did last night, we call Him up, and He says, "Oh, good, He's here, He's back. I can talk to Him." God says, Engage with me on a daily basis. Come to me. Ask, and you shall find. You shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Engage God daily. Because when we engage God daily, we find God. And we have hope for the future, and we can enjoy life today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the encouragement that you gave to the people in exile. And these words which speak so powerfully to us today. Help us, Lord Jesus, to enjoy life now, to embrace hope today, and to engage with you through your word, through prayer, every day, in order that we might ultimately receive the blessing of heaven and understand the promises which you have filled in us. In the name of Christ, amen.